This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Senator Paul, you had an audience with President Trump, a golf game a couple
just
of days.
Just recently.
A couple of
it
days
just happened
ago.
To me, and you sound like this. It's so interesting.
First of all, who won when the two of you played, sir?
Well, the first thing I will admit is that the president is very good, and of the foursome, he probably was the best in the foursome. But we did have a wager, and the president was my partner, and the wager was this. If our team won, that, you know, I'd just be on board, I would throw out everything I've said over the last month, and I would be all in for the plan. But, as it were, the match wound up tied, and since we were tied, I'm still wanting it to happen. I still offer new alternatives, new ways of thinking about it, because I think we are still at an impasse. I think they still think they can pound a square peg into a round hole, and that's what's still going on. I've offered them a way out of this that I think pleases moderates and conservatives. And the way out of this is not to try to put all the things that moderates want to retain in the bill, simply leave them as a little bit of Obamacare that we don't get rid of. Even though I'm for getting rid of all of it, I would compromise by leaving some in place. But what I don't like and what many conservatives don't like is to repeal all of the Obamacare subsidies, but then replace them with Republican subsidies. If you want to keep some subsidies, just repeal 80% of the Obama subsidies. Conservatives might be allowed to go along with that.
So, Senator, you're confirming out of your conversation with the president that the president is not, in fact, done with health care. As the White House said a week and a half ago, they said, we've turned the corner. It's behind us. We didn't get it done. They want to come back to it and come back to it soon, it sounds like.
My impression is that no one's given up on this. I've not given up. Freedom Caucus has not given up. And I also don't think the White House has either. I can't characterize what was said a week ago, but from this weekend, my conversations with both the president, the budget director, as well as the chief of staff is, everybody still wants to do what we promised to do, which is a repeal of Obamacare.
Amen to that, huh? Well, over a little bit of golf. I mean, how many gimmies? How many mulligans, huh? But they ended up tied, and so it gives Rand Paul. He didn't really sell his soul over a golf game. Although, you know, it can happen.
Well, you know what they say about the guy that owns the course, right?
Yes, exactly.
He gets as many mulligans as he wants.
As he wants. And, hey, what's a three-foot putt? That's a gimme, man. That's no worries. You know, I don't want you to get nervous over anything. But obviously it sounded like they had some good fun there. But the reality is that we're still dealing with this health care. Again, Scott, I'm telling you. This, you know, they somehow think they can fix this. I think their way of fixing it is to get out of it altogether. And by getting out of it altogether is just, you know, support a system that allows people to be responsible to design and work with their doctor and to find their own health care program. Because everybody's different. Everybody has different needs. And accommodate that kind of program, and it would go a long way. I'm not saying abandon all subsidies and that sort of thing. I mean, it's going to be hard to do that. I mean, we do that anyway. But is there a way to manage this so that people, you know, they're going to game the system no matter what it is. I mean, that's just the nature of our human creativity and our connivory is that people will game the system. It's not going to be a perfect deal. But I think for the most part, if you give people the opportunity to go direct pay, support that, get all these burdensome regulations out of the way to where it's really about delivering world-class health care to the citizens of this country. Also, I still maintain, is that Congress themselves, every elected official, no exemption whatsoever, you get rid of that, you participate in the very same plan that we do. You know, what right? I don't know. I mean, this self-righteous, idea that they should have a better health care plan than us. What is all this about? I mean, this is idiotic, and that needs to get squared up as well. The conversation continues. Go to BML Talk. Let me know what you think.
When a storm causes power loss for a whole day, it can seem endless. There's a new kind of storm brewing, one that could target our nation's power grid and turn off the power for not just days, but for months or longer. Veteran news anchor Ted Koppel's new book, Lights Out, details this exact scenario. And CENTCOM General Lloyd Austin says it's not a question of if, but when. That's why Americans are rushing to secure solar-powered generators to provide an endless supply of life-saving electricity without gas, fumes, or noise. And the breakthrough Patriot Power Generator 1500 has it all. Portable and lightweight, providing up to 1500 continuous watts of clean, quiet, and free renewable solar power. If a blackout strikes, you'll have power for heat, lights, cell phones and computers, and critical medical devices, all from the rechargeable solar power. Our first introduction sold out fast, and with high demand, we can't guarantee keeping the supply in stock. Stay protected with the power you need. The Patriot Power Generator 1500. Right now, enjoy our special easy pay option. Just go to blackout27.com. That's blackout27.com. Blackout27.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
It's Bill Martinez with you, 6 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. Samantha Mills Mao, you know, the good news girl, go to Sam's Corner, got all those great videos. I mean, there were several that we didn't get a chance to get to, and even the ones we did, you will be absolutely blessed. Check that out. And, again, I remind you to get involved in the conversation. Your opinion counts. In fact, it is essential if we're going to get this country back on track. No one person has all the goods. All of us have a little piece of the puzzle that comes together, that brings this tapestry, that makes it beautifully work together to where it is a good, it is good for all concerned. Okay. So your puzzle piece needs to be involved, and I want to hear from you and your puzzle piece. Okay. I said, BML talk. Don't forget the hashtag. Hashtag's always important these days, you know, so hashtag BML talk. Our next guest, Paul Loudon, is with us, noted public speaker, radio show host, author of Behind the Locked Door, Understanding My Life as an Autistic. As an adult on autism spectrum, Paul is able to provide a unique perspective into the autistic mind. Paul Loudon, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Good to have you with us. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Thank you so much for having me here.
Hey, great to have you here, and congratulations on the book, Behind the Locked Door, Understanding My Life as an Autistic, that I know is blessing people who deal with autism. Give us an idea, in terms of the universe, how many people are affected by autism today?
Current numbers are somewhere between 1 in 50 and 1 in 100 for new diagnoses. We're still settling on what the real number is going to be and determining, you know, whether this is because of us being better at diagnosing or what. We know that, you know, back in the 90s, ADHD and ADHD seemed to be everywhere, but now we've recognized a lot of those kids as being autistic and misdiagnosed. So there's a possibility that number will shift a little bit, but it's definitely going to stay above 1 in 200, if not 1 in 100.
Mm-hmm. But like you say, you're affected by autism. I mean, first of all, you don't even know what you're affected by, right?
Well, it's one of those things where the autism diagnosis has gotten better, especially over the last 10 years and with the refining it in the DSM-5. I was originally diagnosed with Asperger's, but they rolled that into autism as they realized that they definitely are the same thing. And I'm pretty confident about my diagnosis being correct based on, you know, the time I've spent learning about autism and how it affects people and how it affects our ability to understand the world around us. But there's a lot of individuals who are in a different place, who aren't really able to examine their own thought processes and compare them with others and have those conversations and look at, you know, the research and try to understand their own challenges. And there may be people among those who have other disorders that we just haven't really categorized clearly enough yet. But either way, it's a significant problem. You don't get diagnosed with something unless it's affecting your impact to live. And right now, the autism diagnosis and how we know to treat it are the best tools we have for making our lives better.
Right, exactly. And speaking of autism itself, like you said, initially you thought it was Asperger's, but along the way they've determined it is in fact autism. So what is autism?
Autism is really hard to describe. For one, it's called a spectrum disorder because it has a really wide range of severity from the nonverbal individuals who have difficulty, you know, carrying out basic life functions to people who, you know, maybe have it so minorly that they haven't been diagnosed. And so you wouldn't call them autistic, but they're still sort of in that range where they'd be on the spectrum, the two different ends of the bell curve. And there's a lot of people in the middle. And, you know, the common traits of autism are social impairment. We have difficulty with social communication. A lot of people think it's all communication, but it's social communication. Now, some of us may be nonverbal, but that doesn't necessarily mean we can't communicate. Even nonverbal ones, many of them can do so through either sign language or tools like pointing at words or things like that. There are people who are further down who can't at all, but that's often more of they can't do things that the experience of their sensory issues are overwhelming them, and they can't interact with the world around them without getting overwhelmed. And sensory issues are another common trait that we tend to be either hypersensitive, more sensitive than people to light, sound, things like that, or hyposensitive, where we're less sensitive to things. Often that could be touch or things like that. But we're still learning why. We know that it's developmental. We know that, you know, it actually affects the growth of the brain, and you can see it on fMRI scans, but we're still learning more about why this collection of symptoms go together. And then you also have sort of, for lack of a better word, obsessive behavior. We often have obsessive interests, things that we tend to be very interested in. You know, the stereotypical one who knows everything about every model of GE washing machine can quote, you know, the instruction manuals and what page on them for maintenance information, stuff like that. And a lot of times those obsessions relate to our anxiety with the world, that they're obsessions over things that are rock solid, that are objective, and we can learn about them and know them and have an area of our life that we feel in control of because there's so much uncertainty elsewhere. And the last bit is just that, uncertainty. We are very much more comfortable with black and white thinking, and we tend to be very literal or expect other people to be very literal. So that's the sort of overview of autism. And then each of those, you can dial them up to 11, where they become so severe that we can't interact with people in a constructive manner.
Right. But what is appreciative, when you are effective and your conversation can be entered in, because of the black and white nature, that you go to determination, you move to determination. You don't like gray areas. You don't like uncertainty. And, you know, for some people and their personality types that, you know, they can handle uncertainty, to the point that they just keep processing life forever. Whereas someone like you brings it to conclusion. You'll call the question. It's like, let's solve this. Let's solve this issue now. There's no need to keep on chewing it, on it over and over again. So there is terrific value, I believe, within the spectrum of life here. Now, the 2017 theme, by the way, a couple of days ago, was regarded as World Autism Day, as Awareness Day, and the theme this year was toward autonomy and self-determination. And this was something that was established by the UN not that long ago, only about, what, 8-9 years ago?
I think they established it in 2007, but late 2007. So the first World Autism Day was 2008.
Mm. So toward autonomy and self-determination, I mean, well, I'll tell you, that's a good day, I think, for all of us, you know, a good theme, you know, for all of us to embrace is autonomy and self-determination, right?
Oh, absolutely. That's sort of where I push with my message, is learning how to build agency and autonomy with autism.
Right. Well, he is the author of the book Behind the Locked Door, Understanding My Life as an Autistic. And we've got more from Paul Loudon, a noted public speaker, radio show host, and author. As an adult on the autism spectrum, Paul is able to provide a unique perspective into the autistic mind, and we're going to unlock the door. and help and allow him to teach us more about autism and maybe attack some of these myths that are hanging around that are problematic and only kind of keep us disconnected when there is value in being connected, even with somebody who is autistic. Paul Lawton is our guest, and more from Paul on the other side of the break. I'm Bill Martinez at 15 After.
Sometimes it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable for the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA. Go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Hi there, Dick Allgaier here. I was a mainstream television news reporter for over three decades. I normally never do commercial endorsements. I am very skeptical of health supplements, but a friend of mine told me about his experience with Synergy One, so I purchased a bottle, and my wife and I have been using it for a few weeks now. I very much dislike so-called energy boosters, those little energy drinks that have caffeine and guarana and other things that make your heart race. This is not that. My experience with Synergy One has been great. My mood is better. My joints feel better. I have more vigor, more stamina, way increased productivity. My wife and I both noticed that we even dream more. So I recommend Synergy One. It's really good stuff. I'm having great results with it.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Did you know there's a new group of water contaminants with unknown health effects? These emerging contaminants lurking in your water may include prescription, over-the-counter drugs, and new types of herbicides and pesticides. ProPure's improved Pro-1 G2.0 filter meets NSF 401 standards to help reduce these emerging contaminants. To find out more, visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Many medicines used to treat colds and flu contain acetaminophen, a pain reliever and fever reducer found in hundreds of over-the-counter and prescription medicines. But taking too much or more than one medication containing acetaminophen per day can damage your liver. So always read the label and don't take acetaminophen if you drink three or more alcoholic drinks every day. To learn more, visit fda.gov/OTC pain info. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Food and Drug Administration.
Hey, diabetics. Yeah, you. Got a spare hour to waste going to the pharmacy to get your insulin or other meds and supplies every month? I didn't think so. Me either. I've got life going on, which is why I use PillPack. PillPack is an amazing online pharmacy. They package up all my diabetic meds and testing supplies into daily doses and send it to me every month, automatically. All I do is pay my normal copay. PillPack does the rest. I'm serious. This is a free service. They don't even charge for shipping. PillPack handles all the medical insurance stuff and even get with my doctors for my other prescriptions. So I don't have to, which is good, because that's the stuff I forget. But PillPack remembers everything. They even package up my daily vitamins, so I remember to take them, too. If you're diabetic, your meds and supplies are life and death, which means you need PillPack. Call right now for this free service. You may even qualify for $25 in free vitamins. 800-560-7310. That's 800-560-7310. Again, 800-560-7310.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Lower taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez, live.
Welcome back, America. 19 after the top of the hour. Our conversation with Paul Lawton continues, author of the book Behind the Locked Door, Understanding My Life as an Autistic. Paul, what would you want from somebody else who is dealing with autism? I mean, for you, this has been a process, clearly, as you have discussed it on your own radio show, certainly written about it in the book. But what is your encouragement to those also dealing with autism?
To those dealing with autism, I think the biggest encouragement I could give is that it's becoming clearer and clearer that people are transitioning from the question of, you know, how do we stop autism, seeing autism as the target of something, to how do we make autistic people's lives better, which includes the question of how do we improve symptoms or how do we help them better integrate into the world, but it also includes the question of how do we make the world a more welcoming place to them, how do we adapt workplace environments to better fit them and their unique skills into the workplace, things like that. So for those on the spectrum, life out there is looking better than it ever has in terms of potential, and I think we've finally reached the point in the conversation that we've been trying to get to for years.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you bring up a good point. Whether it's autism or anything else in our society, if somebody is perceived as being less than, traditionally, there's been a process of invalidation and isolation. And I think that as critical as we can be about our culture, is that this idea of inclusiveness, and I think understanding that that we all bring something to the dance. And this has been my perspective for a long time. My dad used to always tell us when we were growing up, first of all, if it wasn't good, you know, if you had something to say and it wasn't good, don't say it. Don't bother. So it was a cautionary instruction about the words that we speak, number one. Number two, he says, you can find good in anybody. Just don't be in a hurry. And I think that sometimes we do this in relationship to the current culture in which we live in, where things do not move fast enough. And, you know, my audience hears me time again talking about this microwave generation that we live in. You know, we stand in front of a microwave and yell, hurry up. So we want to move things along. You know what I mean? And in the process of doing that, we miss out on golden nuggets. We don't know, you know, if we're so quick to invalidate the other person, particularly when it's a person who is coming into contact with us, who is to say that that person doesn't have the golden nugget that you've been looking for all your life? But if we don't give it time and place and importance, we miss out on that. And I would say that that has been, sadly, the condition of our culture time and again. But now I think, and to some degree, we're turning a corner and being, even in the midst of non-acceptance, so we see a lot of promotion of non-acceptance, but what we don't hear a lot of are these little victories that happen here and there around our world where somebody, you know, unlocks a door, an opportunity or an idea that is a real blessing for people. And that's what I think we all carry, because as I believe that God never made any one person with all the goods. We've got parts and pieces. This is why it's important for us to be in relationship with others.
And that's one of the big challenges with autism, is that, you know, it is a social disability. We have a harder time building those bonds because we experience the world in a different way. But also, because it's a mental disability, it becomes very easy for people to dismiss us. Where if you meet someone in a wheelchair and they say, you know, well, I don't really like being around people, you treat that as being an aspect of their personality. But often if an autistic person says that, it's said, well, okay, you need to be around more people then to work on that, because, you know, it's a social impairment. And so our personality traits often get lost when people can't see past the autism to the person underneath, especially when we're less verbal, when we're able to speak but not well or quickly. I've met, you know, people with doctorate degrees who have English as a second or third language, and so, you know, they speak slowly, they have a little difficulty with the words sometimes because they're just from another country. And even then, I know consciously that they know vastly more than me about a lot of subjects. There's a part of my brain that always wants to put them in that category of this person is slow, because somehow, somewhere along the way in my life, I developed that unfortunate view that I have to fight against every time I meet someone like that. And I know that when autistic people interact with other people, there's a lot of them that are like that as well, that when we can't speak well, when we can't form our ideas quickly enough, we're seen as less intelligent, no matter what's going on behind the locked door. You know, and so I really want to try to help people understand that, that, you know, no matter where you are on the spectrum, autism isn't associated with intellectual disability. That, you know, there are people with autism who also have intellectual disabilities, but there are people with autism who are nonverbal because of the issues, but have a normal IQ, and when they do learn a way to communicate, are able to accomplish things on par with their peers. There's the whole range of it. And so we often get this feeling where we almost have to live perfectly because any mistakes we made are because of autism rather than human error. You know, we don't get exactly that same benefit of the doubt. And so that's sort of what I'm out there trying to do, is try to help people understand that, that we are people and we want to be people first, that autism is something we're working hard on. But unless we tell you this is autism, please don't dismiss anything about us as not being us.
Can sometimes autistic people be perceived, you say slow, but also harsh?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I've had plenty of people who have interpreted me as patronizing, condescending, things like that, because I tend to speak in literal and technical terms, and there are situations where that's appropriate, but there are also situations where that's, you know, very inappropriate. And I also don't modulate my tone of voice the same way other people do. I have a tendency to speak at different rates, and it's actually really common that you know, autistic people are seen as sort of that talking down to you or talking harshly to you. And there's even a stereotype for kids with autism as being little lawyers, that they call you on the smallest details and they talk in that way where they're always sort of trying to push on things. And it comes with the just the way we experience the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's in like we talked about before, it's that black and white, let's make a decision type of thing. Let's not spend a whole lot of time in processing, because you've already spent all that time in processing, it seems like. Is that fair?
Sometimes it's that, yeah. Sometimes it's just a case of, like, you know, we tend to take things as they're said. If someone says that, you know, your turn to mow the lawn is on Friday, and then they try to change it on you, it's like, no, that's not what I agreed to. We had an agreement. It's set in stone. It's not even a decision-making thing. It's just sort of almost a trust thing in some cases. You know, I've read things that suggest that autistic kids are less likely to do drugs, to drink, to do things like that, just because once we get told, you know, don't do drugs, it's like, okay, never do drugs. But we also have that problem of don't talk to strangers doesn't allow that flexibility to go and ask a police officer for help when you get lost in the mall, or doesn't offer that flexibility that when a mall security guard says, hey, kid, are you lost? Do you need help finding your mom? That you're able to do with it. So the lack of flexibility, you know, can have a variety of unexpected effects that we deal with as we learn about it in ourselves, we get a chance to.
Well, we just celebrated another World Autism Day this past Sunday. And, you know, the theme, as I mentioned earlier, toward autonomy and self-determination, something that we could all embrace. He is the author of the book Behind the Locked Door, Understanding My Life as an Autistic. Paul Loudon has been our guest. Paul, how can the good folks get their hands on your book and get connected with you? Because I'm sure you have some great advice to share.
If you visit Loudon on Autism, Louden on autism.com, you'll find me, videos, blog posts, links to Amazon to buy the book, yeah, all that stuff.
Well, again, Paul Loudon, thank you so much for being with us. Noted public speaker, radio show host, author of the book Behind the Locked Door, Understanding My Life as an Autistic. This is Bill Martinez at 29 After, the top of the hour.
I've spent my entire career as a journalist uncovering the truth, until the day my wife presented me with the biggest story of my life.
What I felt was something more real than anything I've ever felt in my life.
From the studio that brought you God's Not Dead.
If somebody wanted to do an investigation into Christianity, where would you start?
A reporter on a quest to disprove his wife's newfound faith.
How can we even talk about historical evidence for the resurrection?
The Gospels are filled with contradiction.
Comes face to face with an unexpected outcome.
We all bet our lives on something.
The question is,
What's it going to be?
As much as I would like to help out a fellow skeptic, what you're proposing is impossible.
Based on the best-selling book by Lee Strobel.
Do you really want to know the truth, or is your mind already made up?
The Case for Christ. In theaters April 7th. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Find a theater at thecaseforchristmovie.com.
All right, guys. We're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's going to get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no. We'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know, the credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-314-7417. 800-314-7417. That's 800-314-7417.
Letting you know about it before the defecation hits the oscillation. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, just the way you like me, fresh every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back, America. For more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. You want to drop me an email? We'd love to hear from you. Good, bad, indifferent. Let your voice be heard, okay? Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. And also, you can use the hashtag sort of thing, because we hashtag it these days, at BML Talk. Chime in. Let us know your thoughts. Got a great story for you. This is one that I've been looking forward to for a long time. In fact, we had Amy Shively Hawk scheduled, for an interview several weeks back. And sadly, we had some technical difficulties, Scott, is what we had. And so, fortunately, she was able to be available to us so that we could talk about her book, 6 Years in the Hanoi Hilton. It is a story about her stepfather, incredibly touching. Let me give you a little bit of background here. In 1967, U.S. Air Force fighter pilot James Shively was shot down over North Vietnam. After ejecting from his F-105 Thunder Chief aircraft, he landed in a rice paddy, was captured by the North Vietnamese Army. For the next 6 years, you imagine 6 years, Shively endured brutal treatment at the hands of the enemy in Hanoi prison camps. Back home, his beloved girlfriend Nancy eventually moved on and married another man. Bound in iron stocks at the Hanoi Hilton, unable to get home to his loved ones, Shively contemplated suicide. Who wouldn't, huh? Yet somehow he found hope, and he became determined to help his fellow POWs survive. In a newspaper interview several years after his release, Shively said, and I quote, "I had the opportunity to be captured, the opportunity to be interrogated, the opportunity to be tortured, and the experience of answering questions under torture. It was an extremely humiliating experience. I felt sorry for myself, but I learned the hard way. Life isn't fair. Life is only what you make of it." I mean, can you imagine? He says, "I had the opportunity to be captured." Says a lot about perspective, doesn't it? Amy Shively Hawk is with us right now. She is the stepdaughter of James Shively, And it's great to have her here to tell her story. 6 years in the Hanoi Hilton, this is the title of her book, An Extraordinary Story of Courage and Survival in Vietnam. Amy, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Good to have you with us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Bill.
What a great show. When I first got your book, it was just so, because I served in the military during Vietnam. I didn't go to Vietnam, but I was right there in the thrust of it. I worked for the public affairs office at Camp Pendleton, in the Marine Corps. And, you would hear the stories. We had a lot of, Vietnam vets, and people coming through Camp Pendleton. So you hear the stories, but particularly engaging to me were those that, we wore bracelets for, the missing in action, those that were, like your stepfather, that found themselves captured. But what a unique man, his perspective, and that the 6 years that he endured in the Hanoi Hilton did not go to waste whatsoever. I mean, it really did some refining of an inner character that was quite obvious in your story here.
That's right. Thank you, Bill. He was probably the most humble, most grateful man you would ever meet, because he just saw each day as a gift. He was just so grateful to be alive, so grateful to be open, to be able to, open a door and walk in and out of his own will. And so when I was given the tapes, a reporter gave me some tapes after he passed away that had my dad's story on them, because he had never shared the brutal, extreme details with us. He was always very general in his stories. And when I received those and listened and heard about all that he went through, I just knew that I had to turn it into a book.
Yeah. Well, and you're blessed to have Senator John McCain write the foreword. And what he says about your father just reinforces what you just shared with us.
It was very gracious of him. They were in the Hanoi Hilton together at the same time. And so, of course, they knew of each other. And I had contacted the senator when I began writing the book, and he was very willing and let me interview him. So I included some of his own personal stories in the book, and then he wrote the foreword about my dad, which was wonderful.
Now, what he endured, as he says here, I mean, which is amazing, I guess, says a lot about him. He looks at it as an opportunity to be captured, an opportunity to be interrogated, an opportunity to be tortured and experience answering questions under torture. I mean, other than that, him being in the situation at the Hanoi Hilton where he is, this experience does not, it doesn't become a part of his life.
Right. He made a very wise, I think, decision when he was released, that he wasn't going to let the war and the atrocities define him. He was going to release any bitterness, any anger that he had about the war. And that really is what allowed him to move forward in his life with great courage, but also with a certain amount of freedom. And I wanted that to come across to the reader, because we will all go through dark circumstances. Most of us will be hurt, not as brutally treated, of course, as these men were. But his life message is really hang on to hope, look forward to better days, and don't hang on to the darkness and the bitterness that has happened. Let it go and move forward and be free. And that's exactly what he did.
Well, by comparison today, Amy, a society and culture that if we're inconvenienced for 5 minutes, we want to complain to no end about it. But for 6 years to endure what your father endured, boy, it really puts into perspective what we may go through as a mere handshell by comparison.
It sure does. And, that's why I wrote the book as well. I wanted the next generation coming up. I wanted my children to know what their grandfather went through, because it does give you a sense of perspective that we do live in a free country. We have all kinds of freedoms, And it's just a matter of perspective. He woke up every single day grateful for everything that he had, and his whole outlook on life was just one of gratitude and humility. And he passed that on to his daughters. I think about him all the time when, Bill, as you say, I get frustrated about something that I know my dad would consider trivial, which is pretty much everything.
Yes.
He used to say, he used to tell us, don't sweat the small stuff, girls, and it's all small stuff.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's quite sobering, especially when you hear it from him. Had you known the full depth of his story and where those words were emanating from, I'm sure today it takes on a deeper meaning as opposed to when he said it back then.
It sure does. It wasn't until we became adults and became more aware of his story that we really understood the torture and the deprivation and the starvation. It's really a miracle that he was even alive, because they could have killed him at any moment, and he almost died multiple times. And so, you know, it wasn't until later in life that we really understood what he had gone through. And I think this book brings a sense of understanding to families of veterans. I've had people tell me, you know, reading your book really, really gave me a deeper sense of understanding about my family member, because many of our veterans don't want to talk about their experience.
Right. Well, especially those Vietnam vets, because when they came back, it was to a rather disgruntled culture, a revolting culture. They had had it with Vietnam, all the, as you say, not that any war is popular, but the lack of support from the people, the very people whose freedoms that he put his life on the line for, for their freedoms that he spent 6 years in the Hanoi Hilton for. I'd be interested to hear what insight you can give us to that and how he looked at America as he returned home. This is Bill Martinez. We're live. We're talking with Amy Shively Hawk, her book, 6 Years in the Hanoi Hilton, Extraordinary Storage, a story of courage and survival in Vietnam. It's all about her father. This is Bill Martinez live.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
This report is brought to you by Odor Eaters. Ripley's Believe It or Not hosted the annual National Odor Eaters Rotten Sneaker Contest in New York City. This year, 7 participants from across the country worked hard to stink up their shoes for a chance to win the national title. But only one rancid pair of sneakers could take the prize of $2,500 with an additional 2-night stay in New York City, tickets to the Broadway show Aladdin, and a supply of Odor Eaters products to kick out the odor from his funky footwear. This year, Connor Slocum was the grand prize winner. Rachel Hertz, Ph.D., author and professor, Brown University.
It's amazing how foul kids' sneakers can get from just everyday activities. These keep getting more rotten every year. We're happy to have this contest where kids can find a place to be themselves and have fun. The Rotten Sneaker Contest allows them to be proud of themselves and just be kids.
To learn more, visit www.odoreaters.com or the Odor Eaters Rotten Sneaker Contest Facebook page.
Have you ever wanted a shortcut to getting the underground secrets to making money online and seriously grow your business? Whether it's a new business, a part-time income, or an existing business, you have this incredible limited offer to get a copy of this Amazon best-selling book on .com success for free. Uncover the success factors to make your business ignite. Go to secretsignite.com. That's secretsignite.com. Get your free copy now. Go to secretsignite.com.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
It's called the Deep State. Barack Obama's most loyal aides still hold office, and they want to stop President Trump. Deep State was first revealed in the runaway New York Times bestseller, Big Agenda. David Horowitz's Big Agenda exposes Obama's government in exile and his shocking plan. Newsmax, Lou Dobbs, Ann Coulter all say you must read Big Agenda at bookstores everywhere, or check out our free offer. Call 800-NEWSMAX, 800-NEWSMAX, or go to BigAgenda411.com. That's BigAgenda411.com.
Someone once said, live free or die. Right? Bill Martinez live.
Freedom is what it's all about. I believe that's the ultimate blessing that God has given us. Welcome back, America. I'm Bill Martinez. Just about 14 minutes before the top of the hour, our conversation with Amy Shively Hawk continues about her book, 6 Years in the Hanoi Hilton, An Extraordinary Story of Courage and Survival in Vietnam. The other part of the story about your father is the story of your mother and your father being reunited. I mean, it is a touching love story, Amy. I mean, you talk about never giving up hope.
That's right. It is a pretty sweet story. They had dated in high school, and they dated while my dad was at the United States Air Force Academy and in his flight training. But when he was sent over to Southeast Asia to fly and to fight and was shot down, of course, it was tormenting for my mom. She didn't know if she would ever see him again or if he would be killed at any moment. And the years just drug on and on and on. And she eventually met and married my biological father out in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and they got married and had me and my little sister. But when Jim was eventually released from prison, he came back to Spokane, and my mom wanted to be with him, so she married him, and they went and had 2 more daughters and raised 4 daughters together. And so he was my stepdad from the time I was 5 years old and raised me as his own.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, here is, you know, he finds his first love. Your mother was, you know, became available, and they married, and here it is. Wow. What an incredible story. And of course, you can read more about it in her book. We'll leave that little tease there. Amy, I did want to get into, you know, some of the passions that have grown out of, you know, this story and what you learned about what our soldiers, our vets are going through, what they've gone through and experienced in combat. As you said, your father was reticent to talk about these things. Much of his story you didn't know until afterwards. And thank God for an interviewer, you know, noting and recording the conversations and the interview so that you could come up with this book and really even further and deeper, if that was possible, appreciate your father, you know, Jim Shively. But out of this process, you grew to appreciate what these soldiers who come back home. I mean, right now the suicide rate is something like 20 a month, or is it 20 a day? I know it's astronomical, whatever it is. I don't know why I'm getting that confused, but it is a huge number of veterans who are committing suicide. So there is some mental disorder as a result of going into combat, and as opposed to Vietnam, when we were very ignorant and not understanding what was going on. I mean, you talk about the perfect storm. Here you have a culture that wanted to ignore everything about Vietnam, turn its back on anything about Vietnam, including the soldiers who went there to defend our freedom and answer the call of its government. And they come back and they're unwelcomed, sneered at, disrespected. And on top of that, some are dealing with some serious mental disorders, right?
Oh, that's correct. And, you know, my dad always felt extremely blessed because he was a prisoner, he was treated differently than the veterans. And he did come back to a hero status in our community and was treated like a hero. But he became a mentor to veterans in our community that connected with him, because he realized that not everybody was, of course, getting the same treatment. And he became an advocate for veterans, for their mental health awareness. He was a prosecuting attorney, a very successful attorney. And he tried one case that became very widely known about a veteran up in Spokane who suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder. And my dad actually defended him. Gave some more awareness to our government about his situation and the fact that they couldn't ignore what was going on with these men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you think about it, I just to clarify my statement, according to the VA, it's 20 suicides per day. You see, the number is so huge that you think there's no way it could be on a daily basis, that number. But it is. I mean, it's down a little bit. I mean, it was as high back in 2013. The Department of VA reported, some 22, 23 veterans per day were committing suicide. That was like one in every 65 minutes. It is most incredible that that is the number. And that's why it's hard to think of it. You know, you think, well, it can't be 20. You know, 20, it's got to be 20 per week or 20 per month. It's 20 per day. It is that severe. And your father understood this.
He understood, Bill, and he also felt that the government had a great responsibility to have programs in place as the men were coming back. He felt that if the government were going to send the men over there, they needed to have programs in place and be responsible to care for them when they came back, because the atrocities, the trauma, the stress of what they were experiencing is just more than the human mind can handle. And so,
exactly.
I think it's just now that we're revving up our programs in response. And I wanted to mention that I'm partnering with a program out of New York and Washington, D.C. called the Headstrong Project. And it's mm-hmm. run by veterans. It's dedicated to veterans that need help getting back on their feet. They have a program for post-traumatic stress disorder, and it's completely free. It's run off of donations. So they offer these programs that really work. They want people to know that post-traumatic stress disorder is treatable. They have programs that work, and I'm partnering with them to donate a portion of the proceeds of this book towards their foundation.
Well, that's excellent. And how can they get in touch with Headstrong Project?
They're at
participate and partner with you.
Yeah, headstrongproject.org.
.org. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. So just go to the website, and as your heart and your spirit would dictate, support this cause. I mentioned to Amy as well that I am an ambassador, as you know, for Songs and Stories for Soldiers. We have distributed over 10,000 MP3s for soldiers suffering with PTSD. These are MP3 players, and we give them out and we've offered them to Amy so she can pass on to Headstrong Project as well. Maybe this could be another one of the assets that they could utilize in helping our soldiers who are coming back. I mean, you can only imagine. I mean, Jim Shively's case in some sense is extreme and extraordinary, 6 years to be incarcerated in the Hanoi Hilton. But for the young men and women who go and defend our freedoms and the situations that they find themselves in, that even to this day, I mean, we seem to be a bit disconnected from this, Amy, because so few today go and fight the cause. And that's not an indictment. It's just the way our all volunteer army is set up, probably I think it's about 1% of our society goes and actually puts on a uniform and defends the cause for freedom. And as a result, so much is misunderstood because you haven't been there. This is why, a simple thing like standing up for the national anthem at a sports game, is so revered by us vets as opposed to other people who do not, and they're just more interested in carrying on their conversation and chewing on their hot dog, which, is an insult to vets, who respect our flag. There's something very, very special, and so visceral that we feel about our freedom and about those things that represent our country and the things we fought for.
That's right. Yeah. Freedom isn't free, and that's what I wanted people to know when they read the book and hope to pass along to the next generation, that it's a very, very high price for the liberty that we enjoy today, and we need to appreciate our veterans. We must take care of our veterans coming back, spirit, soul, and body. We need to take care of their minds. We need to make it a priority, Bill.
Yes, exactly. Well, please know, Amy, that I want to come alongside any effort that you're doing for this cause when it comes to vets. And as I say, whatever we can do, if Pet Strong needs some MP3 players, absolutely, count it done. We will do everything we can to facilitate that. For your mother is still alive, right?
She is.
Yes. And how is she doing?
She's doing wonderfully. They have nine grandchildren by now.
Yeah.
Jim only ever got to meet two of them, but the grandkids keep her busy, and she's surrounded with, family and friends, and she misses him every day, though. We all just miss him every single day. He was such a strong influence in our lives.
Yeah. What did your mom say about the book?
She liked it. It was very emotional for her relive some of the things that he had protected her from. But she made her way through it, and she's grateful to have it to pass down to the next generation.
Wow, what an incredible legacy that your father left behind. Though he was reticent to share it with you while he was alive, he did find a way to share it with you because it's just that important, isn't it?
That's right. It's so important, and I'm just so grateful to get his message out there, his life story.
Well, Amy Shively Hawk, the daughter of James Shively, who married her mother after his release from a Hanoi prison when Amy was 5 years old. Amy's background is in journalism, speaking, advertising, marketing, has a BA in communication studies from Eastern Washington University and a minor in broadcast journalism. Amy Shively Hawk, thank you so much for being with us. Great story. Appreciate it.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help, so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
The answer to